This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescueRadio.com. This is Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
Had a few false starts this morning, but I think we're on the road now.
We're ready to roll.
Slick as butter.
Don't say butter.
Oh, we'll get to butter later. Don't worry. We've got an article that will butter you up. Yeah, oh, we are.
Butter.
We're going to butter up the audience.
Okay. Slicker than
butter.
Slick. We've got some funny things and some funnier things to talk about today.
All right.
Well, I'm having a hard time. I wanted to just go off. I mean, I don't know what it is right now.
Yeah, we usually try to find a pattern.
Yeah.
Take our topics, cover them, add some humor in. Mm-hmm.
There's just so much stuff going on.
And Roy is just feeling the need to spew.
Mm. I am. Mm. Like, yank this 10-year project to prevent child exploitation in pornography and different things like that, right? They've been battling it, trying to figure out a way to protect innocent children.
Right.
Beautiful sweethearts.
Yeah.
They yanked the rule in a, like, that.
Yep.
Who did? The government. To basically just say, off the shelf, just table it. We're done.
Not even consider it.
Not even going to consider it. Just, we don't have time, effort. You know what, parents?
Oh, I see.
You keep your kids safe, okay? That's your responsibility.
Which it is.
But we're going to yank every stinking toy off the shelf in every Meltrotter, every Goodwill, every
Salvation Army, secondhand
store, Salvation Army. I wouldn't doubt that you could probably get sued if you were selling your toys at a yard sale.
Well, that's what it'll come down to.
This is sounding like Bürgermeister ad Meisterberger. There'll be no more toys for the king.
That's about it. You know, I understand the whole point of the lead poisoning being dangerous. Absolutely, you don't want any of it because it causes brain damage.
Sure.
However, as you're saying, it goes way too far when it says, you know, these toys that are 5, 6, 10 years old, oh, all of a sudden, they're just all completely dangerous. Get them on the shelves. That's ridiculous.
I'm just struggling with how our almighty government prioritizes these things that are so-called so important.
Right.
Over things that are obviously important. Mm-hmm. It's just driving me crazy. I see
it's
dogs
the bureaucratic
wagging
piece
all over the
that
place.
Really usurps common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really does.
Educated fools. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't be sorry.
Well, because that's a subjective claim. Yeah. But it just when you have, and I'm sure everyone can admit this, when you hear rulings and you hear about things that are so obscene.
Or absurd,
that it's obvious, it's doctorates that are making these decisions. Yeah. You just go, educated foolishness.
What is up
with that? Yeah.
Well, anyways, I've got one
for
you.
I feel better now.
Here's what I heard on the radio this morning coming in.
Yeah.
Steroids is in the news, right?
Yeah.
Athletes.
Yep.
Steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Mark McGwire.
Yep.
His brother speaking out against him last night for Major League Baseball. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
State of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Passed a law, a spending bill, $6 million to test 10,000 high school athletes for steroids. Guess how many they found?
One.
Higher.
Two.
Higher.
100.
Lower.
Four. Four out of
10,000. $6 million out of a state budget in the state of Michigan that might fix a few potholes.
Just a couple.
In the politicians, in an effort to justify the fact that they really didn't find anybody with steroids, they stumbled on four kids, and those might even be false positives.
Yeah, maybe they're drinking the water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, this is the silliness.
Yeah.
An absurdity of individuals with their pork barrel.
Well, who gets these special interest things going?
Well, obviously.
I mean, Congress. How? Not that. I mean, we know who does that. I mean, yeah. We can find them. I'm just saying, how do they do that?
Yeah.
And then how do we as American people allow it to continue?
Yeah. And not show up on Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
You know, government research spends $2 million on studying rabbit, you know.
I know. Well, okay. So, you know what? In light of that, there's some fun things to talk about today. So we might as well get right into the butter thing.
Absolutely.
Butter boy. Let's talk about Butter Boy.
This is a hoot.
Go on it. Go, Dan. You go, Dan.
Dispatchers.
Yep.
Get a call. 21-year-old male, trouble breathing. They arrive. Ask him what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they get there, he's breathing fine.
Sure.
I tried to eat a whole stick of butter, he says, on a bet for $1,000, and I've been sick since then. He can use the $1,000 for counseling.
Yeah.
He'd be in a numbskull.
Yeah. Can you imagine the oil slick in your gastrointestinal section? I mean, let alone just
astronaut diaper for the next month.
Though it's all fat. That's what butter is. That's why it congeals. Can you imagine introducing that?
I would worry about literally choking on
it. I think
that's what the problem was.
You told me that one time about that kid who unfortunately passed away because of pounding marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he choked on it.
Choked on it.
Yeah, and it went into his airway.
The expansion. Yeah. You know, that,
well, it slimed out and went into his bronchial branches and even reached down into his alveoli. He was trying to breathe so much that he was forcing it down into slimy.
Saddest of sad. And then you get yahoos,
yeah,
on a bet. I know $1,000.
That's $1,000. You can't eat a stick of butter.
Hey, I want to find the guy with the grand.
Yeah,
he's floating around. Yeah, he's willing to put his buddy up. Who must know his character for doing silly things.
Hey, he doesn't say anything in this article that he got the $1,000.
No, I don't think he did.
That's a good point.
That was a dirty trick.
Here's your Monopoly money.
Here's your Monopoly.
Here's your $1,000 doll hairs.
You know,
the guy, his friend was just trying to butter him up. That's all.
Well... That was a real slick move.
Yeah, come on now.
So they go, so the EMS, their check is vitals and everything. Butter Boy says, Butter Boy's vitals are normal. Simply having an anxiety attack, I'd say. Then he says, you want to go to the hospital? Bryant asks, his face betraying no hint of frustration. Yeah. Butter nods, and off we go. You call, we haul.
That's right. EMT says. That's a philosophy. Slap him in the meat wagon.
And his skin was so moisturized after that. Yes.
His skin was so smooth and supple.
What's the old trick? If your dog has dry skin, you put a tablespoon of lard or something in there, and it's supposed to help oil up there.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's what he was trying to
do. Maybe,
eczema.
Maybe he was trying to start the combination of a cake. You know, if he ate some eggs and a little bit of flour, then he could have said, had a cake or something.
Well,
no, he was a numbskull.
Anyway,
wow.
I think the article is really about what EMTs are responding to, and you know the bad press of showing up late.
Well, you get a 911 call that says somebody's having trouble breathing. There's nothing funny about that.
No.
But how many times, Jody, have you and I responded to those types of calls? You get there,
mm-hmm.
and they're going, "Well, I'm really having a hard time breathing, and I can't seem to breathe, and I'm really having a hard time, and I don't feel very good, and I can't catch my breath, and I'm just having a really hard time breathing."
Shut up.
Yeah.
Or something tells me the hard breathing isn't because you ain't getting oxygen exchange, that's for sure.
Uh-huh. Or the thing that's really tough, and this is what is so frustrating for paramedics, is you show up at a scene, guy calls in difficulty breathing, and really he just wants a cab ride into town. And that happens all the time.
Downtown hospital. Let's see, that'll get me within a quarter block of where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. No. I'm suddenly having jaw pain.
Yep. Yeah, suddenly having chest pain all of a sudden. I need to get to the hospital. Yep. As soon as you get there.
Yep. They meet you at the curb.
Yeah.
With their bag.
Uh-huh.
I'm not lying.
No, this happens all the time. And you know what it does, though? It's funny, but I tell you what it does, though. But the real problem, what this article is trying to get to, is the fact that EMS rescuers are spending all kinds of time on people with toothaches,
mm-hmm.
people that want a cab ride,
yep.
people that eat sticks of butter.
Yes.
And the people that really need them, are dying.
Then they're tied up because the EMS mm-hmm. is tied up. Yep. Once you take a call and you commit to it, you cannot clear until you do all your steps correctly. Mm-hmm. Make sure there's no serious things going on.
Yeah.
No potential life loss or limb loss. And then you got to do the paperwork.
Yep.
You can't just go there and leave. So, yeah, the system's a little bit broken, and that's what that article was saying.
So, Butter Boys, if you want to eat a stick of butter, don't call EMS.
It outside the ER.
Right. You want to eat a stick of butter, go talk to Bubba. He'll feed you real well. All right. Just don't call EMS.
Nah, you can't say that. Right.
Yeah. Anyhow.
So, what about William and Melinda Gates Foundation?
I think that's pretty cool what they're doing.
Yeah. Trying to eradicate polio from the whole world. Mm-hmm. The polio virus remains endemic in only Afghanistan, India, Nigeria, and Pakistan, but imported cases from these four countries threaten our developing nations. So the Gates Foundation, mm-hmm. right,
yep.
is pledging $255 million, and the Rotary International another $100 million. Britain will provide about $150 million, and Germany about $130 million.
Yeah.
In order to get this goal of eliminating polio.
Yeah.
Pretty completely.
You know what's really cool about this? As much as I despise when my computer crashes constantly because of Microsoft products, and I always say, that Bill Gates, you know, that's the inclination.
Yeah.
You know what's really cool about Bill Gates? So he really is a philanthropist. I mean, this guy has done a
put his money where his mouth is.
He has.
He has.
There's no question. Yep. You know, it's interesting. You know, we talked about vaccinations in previous iRescue Radio episode. And, you know, here it is again. And they're really trying to stamp this out. This is the final knockout punch for polio. That's their hope.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they talked about mass immunization campaigns in the 20th century slowed polio's spread. And not only that, but also stamped out smallpox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But didn't we just talk about this where smallpox is making a comeback.
Come back, yeah.
So
yeah.
Is it ever really knocked out?
Well, that's the thing. You know, here, I mean, what is that? Almost $500 million is going to be going to eradicate polio. And we've got people opting not to get vaccinated here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's my whole point last
conversation. It's never really, I think you've weakened the strain, but doesn't it just continue to mutate?
Well, you've got to have three things to get sick, right?
Yep.
The bug.
Yep.
The route. The receptor.
There you go.
A recipient who is able.
Right.
Well, what if you eliminate just one of those? You either got to get rid of the bug, get rid of the route, or get rid of the susceptible host.
There you go.
In this case, vaccination, that's what they're trying to do. Get rid of the susceptible host. You'll never get rid of the bug completely, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the guy with the butter in his belly.
Okay. A quick jump to a pebble on the way to the shore.
Mm-hmm.
What about that new research on the brain suggesting that women unconsciously have a tougher time resisting their favorite foods than men do?
I'm not touching that one.
No, you know something? Not in my household.
Not in
my either. Wife can resist food without any problem.
Now, should we throw out a disclaimer?
Sure, why not?
Go ahead.
All three of our wives listen to this.
My wife doesn't have a problem overeating. Your wife doesn't have overeating. She's, your wife doesn't have a problem overeating.
No.
I really have a problem overeating.
Exactly.
Pass me a Twix bar.
Another Chinese buffet.
Anyone?
That's right.
Got to get my money's worth.
This is my pension with all these researchers things we're reading.
Yeah.
You can research.
Yeah.
Toenail fungus and get federal funding for it.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff's just silliness.
Yeah.
And Dr. Wang,
mm-hmm.
who did this research.
Is he a male?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there you go.
Dr. Jean Jack Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wang was the study's author. I think he's overreaching in this.
Yeah.
Book. Well, actually, look at the article a little bit. What he really, truly was doing, it really isn't the fact that women unconsciously is the thing. It's not that women can't resist food. That's not really the point of the article. You know, it sounds like that at the beginning. But really what he's doing, he's saying that when he studied them with PET scans, what he found that women thought they were less hungry, but their brain showed that they were still hungry. That's really what he said.
Sounds like my brain.
My brain. Is it saying that women have better self-control?
that's
than men.
That's what I think. The, you know, let's spin it that way because it sounds good. But I
it's true. I really do think so. They say no to themselves when it comes to raising children. They say no to themselves when it comes to pain or sickness, and still have to do the job.
What he's saying here is what's going on. Our hormones could play a factor in women, Wang said, because they need to eat more when they're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so by their very DNA is what he's saying.
That's why I'm
saying
they want to eat for two. Right. Yeah. I might be eating for two.
I think I'm eating for three.
Interesting study. Nonetheless, you'll see it posted on our www.irescueradio.com homepage if you want to read more about it and get the actual story instead of our subjective slants.
Just.
So the Bush policy also required states to establish waiting periods so middle-income children do not go directly from a private health plan to a public program. Such youngsters must be uninsured for 1 year before they can enroll in the children's health program. That's the crux of this whole thing.
Okay.
And the policy blocked or delayed the expansion of coverage in several states, including Louisiana, New York, Ohio, and Oklahoma. Now, in 2007, the Bush administration rejected a request from New York State to expand its children's health insurance program to cover 70,000 additional uninsured youngsters. New York wanted to cover children and families with incomes up to four times as much as the federal poverty level, or $84,800 for a family of four. The state's limit at that time was 250% of the poverty level. New York eventually increased its income limit, but the federal government does not pay its usual share of the cost for children above 250% of the poverty level, leaving the state to shoulder the full cost.
Right.
Okay, so here's and what they're really coming down with Congress, what they're saying is, I don't believe it's a good public policy for a family with an income of almost 85 grand to be able to get on this SCHIP when the median household income in America is about 50 grand.
Right.
Right.
That's really the crux of it, because right now it's pretty easy. Actually, it's pretty easy for a family my size. My family very easily can get insurance for the kids to the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. There doesn't need to be any change in a bill, because the change in the bill from the federal perspective is only going to make bigger government, more spending, more money.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it.
And I've spoke with some doctors that are just terrified. And someone would argue, well, yeah, but that's because they're doctors and they want to make big bucks. Well, there's a lot of doctors that don't make big bucks. There's a lot of salespeople that are and entrepreneurs that are making a lot taller dollars than a doctor is on their salary. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, some of the doctors are paranoid or not paranoid. They're extremely anxious about the government getting their hands on this even further because of what they've seen with Medicaid and Medicare, where they're having to perform these expensive things, but they can't charge for them.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly the problem.
And I have to agree. I think more government control is extremely anti-American. It's not the way our Constitution founded this thing. We need to be able to hit a balance and be our brother's keeper and help wherever we can, and at the same time not rely so heavily upon a government control to become the savior of all of our needs. That's a tough point.
I get concerned about the vast number of children that are uninsured.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I really do.
Sure.
So we can talk about the individual states' response to that. There's a problem. And I don't believe it's being addressed.
But why aren't we also concerned about the adults that are uninsured?
Mm-hmm. You start somewhere.
I know, but...
You know, you look at income, though. I'll tell you, as a person who I've never, you know, made a huge income, I've always qualified for insurance for my kids through the state program. I would qualify for that. Have no problem right now.
But you wouldn't.
I make a good... No. No, I wouldn't, but my kids would.
So what happens when daddy has a heart attack?
Right. But I'm saying, though, right now, current, like, I know I lived in New York State. We did have health insurance through the state when I lived in New York State for my kids.
Yeah.
We qualified for that. Mm-hmm. And I was making an okay income, but I would be considered lower income there.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know. I don't think there has to be a change that much in providing insurance for kids. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is people don't utilize a service that's already there and already well funded.
Well, I think that's probably the case too. People are
there's no question.
Yeah, I mean, they're just.
I'm not aware of that, Jody.
Right.
I'm 43 years old.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
I consider myself fairly well read, fairly well informed. I listen to the news frequently. Right.
So I think maybe that's the problem. Maybe public campaigns to make people aware of what resources are there. Now, if that's just a state of Michigan thing, and you go to Louisiana and there's nothing like that,
right.
That's where I think the current administration may be saying we need more of an umbrella solution to it that's consistent across all 50 states.
Sure.
So it's not the have and have nots.
Right.
Yeah. That may be the point. I don't know.
But that's where it gets dangerous.
Well, tell us what you think out there. We want to hear your feedback. We're a few days into a new president's term. We've got some major stuff happening. The statement of closing Guantanamo Bay has been made. Yeah. That's in the next year.
CIA interrogation.
Interrogation has been really tightened up that we're not going to be using any form of torture, which makes a lot of sense to me. And we need to really get back your feedback to hear what things you want to hear about. What do you want to talk about? And also, maybe give us some of your feedback on what you think about these policies that are being made. Or funny stories maybe you've heard about in regards to people eating weird things.
Like Butterboy.
Like Butterboy. Maybe that's why the adults aren't insured.
I ate a worm once.
We'll talk about that next time, Joe.
Oh, a spider, too.
Thanks.
I had five older brothers. Can you tell?
So signing off from the studios of iRescueRadio.com, this is Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan, and I'm squeamish.
Eebie-jeebies.
Eebie-jeebies.
Don't admit that you ate worms.
Well,
and spiders.
Well, I'm telling you, when you have five older brothers, you do a lot of strange
Jody,
things.
Jody, try it.
Yeah.
Snipe hunting. I did a lot of snipe hunting.
Have a good day.
Take care.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at iRescueRadio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.